our only chance. We have to take it. We need Kong.
The world needs him.
To stop what's coming.
And this child. She's the only one he'll communicate with.
I knew that they had a bond. She had nowhere to go, so I made a promise to protect her. And I think that in some way, Kong did the same.
These are dangerous times.
Godzilla's out there and he's hurting people and we don't know why.
Provoking him that we're not seeing here.
I'm of the same opinion.
The myths are real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a war.
Come on.
And they're the last ones standing.
I can't reach it for greatness because I'm built from it.
Who bows to who?
Nobody gonna stop for me.
Here we go.
Kong bows to no one.
Here we go.
Everybody, it's your boy Isaac with another film analysis. You know you love them. Today we're going to talk about Godzilla vs. Kong. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. But here's what you would have seen if you watched it. You would see a lot of conspiracy theories. You would see some Hollow Earth. You would see some Gnostic perennialism. Some simulation theory. You would see suppressed free energy, the Vril. You would see breakaway civilizations. You would see the technopaths, the elites, the nerds that are going to kill us. Most interestingly, telepathic artificial intelligence, Neuralink technology. We're going to break it all down. We're going to break it all down, baby. Join me on this film analysis, of course. Plot spoilers lie ahead, but before we get into the film, I'm going to give you a little background information on it in case you haven't seen it. It is about 2 hours. Fine. I got a lot of requests to watch it. And, I get a lot of requests to watch a lot of things. It's a very, very long list, and I appreciate that. I'm very humbled by that. I appreciate that you want to hear my dumb opinion so bad. I wish I had 10 brains to watch all this stuff. Because I got to leave a little space in there for me. How am I going to watch my mindless stuff? My Jersey Shores and Temptation Islands and ridiculousness? Oh, goodness. But I did want to watch this film. And sometimes those worlds collide. What you want and what I want, sometimes they collide. And that's what happened here. And I was like, I'll watch this movie. Now, truth be told, I'm not into either one of these franchises. I don't know if I've ever seen any of the movies. There's like a million King Kong movies and a lot of Godzilla movies. The trailers are always very intriguing. I don't know if I've ever seen any of them fully. I know I've started a couple of them, but never finished them because I eventually would tap out because I'd be like, I don't know. Light on the stuff that interests me, okay? And we'll get into that. The cast, tons of folks, lots of characters in this movie. Alexander Skarsgård's in it. Not the guy from It, but the other one. He plays Dr. Nathan Lind. Dr. Lind. He's the Hollow Earth guy. And I'm going to walk you through the whole movie, so if you haven't seen it, fret not. This is, Alexander Skarsgård. He's a guy from True Blood. He was from Big Little Lies. But most importantly, he was from Generation Kill, probably the best military piece of Hollywood I've ever seen. And he was really in the Swedish military, turns out. Looked him up. I like Generation Kill. It's a disturbing look, but like to me, out of every piece of military film I've ever seen, and just to be clear, the closest I ever came to combat was I was in South Korea when 9/11 happened and the collective shit hit the fan. But what I'm trying to say here is that what the show does very well is it reminded me a lot of the people that I served with. It's like you had a wide variety of people coming together and lots of inappropriate jokes and activities. And, sometimes it was a great time. Sometimes it was the worst and you hated everything about it. It was every extreme. And he was also in On Becoming a God in Central Florida with Kristen Dunst. He was on there for like 5 seconds. But he was the most interesting character. And then once that went away, I gave up on it. Another major character you know would be Millie Bobby Brown. She was in Stranger Things. She played 11. You remember I did a whole analysis on Stranger Things, how that ties in. And in fact, a lot of those arguments could be applied to this movie as we go through this. You remember when Drake was texting her? Yes, Drake. As per Vice, he was texting her when she was 14. He was 31. And it also points out that he was texting Billie Eilish when she was underage as well. And he also said on his own song that he dated SZA in 08, which would have made her underage as well. What's going on with Drake? Just putting it out there. I'm not accusing him of anything. I do think it's weird. And then there's a bunch of other folks you'd probably recognize. It doesn't really matter. Let's get into the film. Starts out Kong, which didn't it used to be King Kong? I don't know. Now it's just Kong. Don't ask me. Don't know. Don't care. Kong is on Skull Island. He's chilling. And then, boom, he realizes he's in a simulation. There's a dome overhead, just like we saw in Hunger Games, just like we saw in Truman Show. This is a Gnostic element, which we'll touch on later. And we zoom out, we find out that he is stuck in this prison planet called Monarch Outpost 236. Now, of course, Monarch is apparently part of the Kong mythos. It's the company studying them. But, of course, that ties us into MKUltra with Project Monarch. But I don't want to bog down with details quite yet. It doesn't play a huge role in the film, so I don't know how much it really matters, but MKUltra, studies of the mind, will play a big role. And we'll hit that in the conclusion. And again, I've got photos of this stuff, as I always do, on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe, link in the show notes. So then they talk about the Iwi mythology. And the premise of the movie is that two titans cannot coexist. And they're keeping Kong away from Godzilla. And they say if they take Kong, that's why they have him in this prison planet. They say if they take him off site, it would quite literally be a death sentence. Because they know Godzilla would win. How are you going to beat Godzilla? Hence the drama behind the whole film. Then they roll the credits. And this is a very interesting part because they're flashing sort of different thoughts and ideas. And they show there's one. And again, I got the photo on the Instagram. Giants battle underground from Sumero-Akkadian cuneiform from 4th millennium BC Iraq. Now this is the cradle of civilization. This is where all of your occult mystery school teachings trace through. Going all the way back to the angels, the watchers from the Book of Enoch. Who taught the people the Enochian magical ideas. Which supposedly filtered into the mystery schools with the concepts of ceremonial ritual magic, or the foundations of it, I should say. The Kabbalistic school of thought, what would become Neoplatonism, which again, it'll be in this film, we'll talk about it in the conclusion. You also hear in the credits, and I'll play clips here for you, I know you like the clips. In the credits, they're talking about Hollow Earth and Antarctica. They talk about Operation High Jump. And in there, I swear, I hear Bill Cooper's voice. Take a listen and see what you think.
Members of the Lost Party were never seen again. Still no word on what they found.
And you can leave a link on the social media, or a comment, I should say, on the social media. You think it's Bill Cooper? Does anybody know for sure? He did a lot of hours of a lot of lectures, so I certainly don't know if that's him or not. Sure sounds like him. And it's curious because they're talking about Antarctica, which is a major part of the storyline, which is important in connecting to the flat earth / simulation theory ideas, which we've already seen with the opening sequence here, right? They think that, because like flat earthers, they point to Admiral Byrd. And if you read my book, I have a book called Conspiracy Theories in Unpopular Culture, obviously based upon the podcast where I take the most popular podcasts of the last few years and sort of package them up in a book form. Well, the flat earthers, they think that Admiral Byrd went down to Antarctica and found the entrance to the Hollow Earth, which in this film is the reality. And Operation High Jump, which appears in the credit, is also part of this Antarctica flat earth mythology, where they sent thousands of military folks to the South Pole. Some claim it was to go after the Nazis. And supposedly it was to research this entrance to the Hollow Earth. And then they also point to a show Byrd was on in 1954 where he said Antarctica was full of energy sources if you go beyond the pole, beyond the South Pole. Well, then the credits are over. They introduce us to a podcast or character named Bernie. And he hosts the Titan Truth podcast. And he's working at this place called Apex Cybernetics in Pensacola, Florida. He's deep undercover, though. And he's reporting on this podcast. And you hear an advertisement from Apex Cybernetics.
When we started Apex Cybernetics, we dreamt of new ways to push past the limits of human potential. Robotics, the human mind, artificial intelligence. Who knows what brave new future we'll dream of next.
I'm Walter Simmons, and it is my privilege to lead Apex into humanity's bold new era. We're not going anywhere.
So Apex, this corporation is basically your Illuminati, and on the clip, you'll see, or on the section of the film, you'll see the all-seeing eye, which I got a photo of again. You'll hear them talking about the Brave New World, the cybernetics, the transhumanism, and then the name, Apex. Apex is the top of a pyramid, get it? The all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid. And I think it's all like very much in your face because I would argue that the writers were into conspiracy theory. And that's what this movie's all about. Because Bernie, the podcast host, he's a total eccentric conspiracy guy. You see him in the movie, like he doesn't like GMOs. He's removing chips from the toaster. He's got on his podcast logo, he's got the pyramid with the all-seeing eye. He's your very archetypal conspiracy nut. Well, Bernie, he's at work going deep cover, and he looks through the shipping logs, and he locates a shipment being retrieved from sub-level 33. Zooms in. Here's another all-seeing eye. There's like 10 all-seeing eyes in this movie. Meanwhile, Godzilla wakes up, and he attacks Apex, presumably looking for Kong. And then there's also a news conference, and we're introduced to Apex Cybernetics CEO Walter Simmons, and he's talking about how he's going to fix humanity, which is your typical technopath sort of idea, philosophy of life. Bill Gates said technology can fix everything, therefore by extension he can fix everything, therefore by extension he is God. Very much, Walter Simmons is very much your Elon Musk type, though, alpha type CEO. And he even says in the movie, he says, crazy ideas make me rich. Now, Madison, that is the girl from Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Brown. Her name is Madison in the movie. She's into this podcast, Bernie's podcast. And she's listening. The podcast talking about this big conspiracy, this big cover-up. And she's talking to her father about how Godzilla must have been looking for another Titan, implying that Apex is hiding Kong in their facility, which they are.
Welcome back, loyal listeners, to Titan Truth Podcast, episode 246. Oh my god, I was there. Godzilla's Apex attack. I saw it go down. You think it's a coincidence that he reappears and just so happens to destroy that specific facility? No. No such thing as coincidence.
Dad, I'm telling you, there is something provoking him that we're not seeing here. Why else would Godzilla flash an intimidation display if there wasn't another Titan around?
That podcast is filling your head with garbage. You should be in school.
I am just trying to help.
I don't want you to help. I want you to stay safe. We needed a plan to keep peace with these things, and the best one we had just went down in flames. I don't have any more. The last thing that I need is to be worrying about you.
Godzilla saved us. You were there with Mom. You saw it. How could you doubt him? There has to be a pattern here.
There doesn't.
A reason why he was provoked.
There isn't.
How do you know that?
Because creatures like people can change. And right now, Godzilla's out there, and he's hurting people, and we don't know why. So cut your pop some slack, would you?
So she tells him, like, I heard it on this conspiracy podcast. And her dad, he's the masses. He's the sheep. He's like, no, conspiracy truthers are never right. You don't listen to that garbage. And as you'll find out, the message of the story of the film is that the truthers are right. Now, Skarsgård, he plays Dr. Nathan Lind. And he has been pumping this theory of Hollow Earth being the birthplace of the Titans. And the CEO, your Elon Musk guy, Walter Simmons, he heads over there. And he wants to talk to Dr. Lind about these theories of Hollow Earth and the Titans. And we find out that Apex wants to harness this life force from the sun in the Hollow Earth that was used to create the Titans as part of a way to fight Godzilla. But the truth is that they actually want to use it for, you know, something we're going to find out later, the true intentions.
Magnetic imaging from one of our new satellites. You know what this is, right?
Hollow Earth.
An ecosystem as vast as any ocean, right beneath our feet.
Well, this energy signal is enormous.
And almost identical to readings from Gojira.
As our sun fuels the planet's surface, this energy sustains the Hollow Earth, enabling life as powerful as our aggressive Titan friend.
If we can harness this life force, we'll have a weapon that can compete with Godzilla. I need your help to find it.
I don't know if I'm the right guy for the job. Did you read the reviews? A sci-fi quack trading in fringe physics. Look where they put my office. I'm in the basement, right across from flute class. Besides, I'm not with Monarch anymore. And Hollow Earth entry is impossible.
So we find out Dr. Lin's brother, he had a mission to enter this Hollow Earth, and he died because what happened was they hit gravitational inversion, where the gravity reversed and they were instantaneously crushed. Luckily enough, Apex created a vehicle to counteract this, the Hollow Earth Aerial Vehicle, HEAV, which is kind of like, what, heaven, right? And this heaven can sustain the inversion. Now, the implication here is that the inversion is, again, another Gnostic principle. God is the devil and the devil is God, basically. Up is down and down is up. And it doesn't play a larger role in the film, so I won't go off on a tangent about that. But the other, you know, it's kind of like the simulation theory stuff with at the beginning, where Kong realizes he's in a simulated world, is kind of the Gnostic idea. And it doesn't play a huge role in the film overall, just something to point out. Now, Dr. Lind, he brings up something very interesting. He talks about how the Titans share a collective consciousness. There's the thing called genetic memory. And they all want to return to this evolutionary source, which, you know, they think is buried inside the Hollow Earth, the power of the sun. Which the sun is the symbolic of the Gnostic wisdom, the Sophia, or the Luciferian knowledge, sometimes is argued to be represented by the sun. Sometimes they call this, like in the Freemason temples, they call the blazing star, the sun, is actually a reference to Sirius, which is a much deeper conversation. But anyway, and I talk about the Sirius and its source of the Thelemic current in the Dark Path a lot. So you can read that if you want more on that. Now, let's see, where were we? Oh yeah, genetic memory. So this is interesting, right? They wish the memory. Okay, so here's the deal. There's a memory, according to this theory, there's a memory that exists at your birth that you sort of download genetically from your parents. And like, if they had a trauma, like, guess what you get to deal with now? There's a story, and this is like kind of, this flows into like Buddhist schools of thought. There's a story in your mind. Well, it could be that that story is actually your parents. But more than that, it ties into the ideas of the occult. It ties into Neoplatonism and Kabbalism and perennialism, and this idea that all religions, all gods, emanate from one common source, which is, again, Gnosticism, the invisible spirit, right? And the collective unconsciousness we're all in tune with, it's a hidden sort of substrate that we're all in touch with, but we're not quite sure how to perfect this, how to make contact with it. Now, we're introduced to another character, Dr. Andrews, kind of insignificant in the storyline, no offense. She's kind of like the Jane Goodall, like she's the one that can communicate with Kong the best. And Dr. Lin approaches her and is like, look, I got Elon Musk over here and he wants to go inside the Hollow Earth, but I need you to communicate with Kong and protect us while we go inside the Hollow Earth that's in Antarctica. We need to go in there and tap into this energy source, but we need King Kong to protect us from Godzilla. Which begs a lot of questions to me, a little bit of a plot inconsistency if you ask me. If you're trying to just get down there without harm, like, why bring Kong with you? Like, wouldn't Godzilla just be going after Kong? I don't get it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We wouldn't have a storyline without it. Then we're introduced to another character, Maya Simmons. She's kind of like the Elon Musk's character's daughter. She's going to monitor this whole situation. She's a total bitch. She doesn't really play a big role either. Again, there's like a million, this is like Game of Thrones, there's like a million characters. Then there's another character, her name is Gia, she's a young girl, she's deaf, and she's on the deck of this. Okay, so now they're on the boat, right? And they're getting ready to go on this expedition. They got Kong chained down, and they're going down to Antarctica. And Gia, she's on the deck, she walks out towards King Kong. And we see the Hollywood symbolic equivalent of the evolution of man, which is what this movie's all about. And you see them touch fingers. This is a play on God touching Adam and the creation of Adam, Michelangelo's painting. We saw it in E.T., which I just did a show on, which is going to be chapter one of my new Alien book, Use Your Illusion 2. Hopefully it'll be out by the fall 2021. We'll see. We'll see how many things happen. If things would calm down, if Lil Nas X would stop twerking on Satan's junk, then then all of a sudden, Kong knows sign language, right? And he communicates with Gia, and guess what he says? Of all things that he could possibly say, he signs home, again, referencing E.T. when he's talking about, you know, phoning home or whatever. And we find out Gia, she comes from the Ewa bloodlines. That's why Kong respects her. Next, the podcaster. The conspiracy podcaster, Bernie. Wasn't there a conspiracy podcaster in The Hunt as well, if you recall? Did a show on that back in 2020, I think. But podcaster Bernie, they show his little studio, his office there, and he's got all this crazy stuff everywhere, as you would expect, and it includes a book that I found curious, a book by Rudolf Steiner called The Incarnation of Ahriman. And I know who Steiner is. Like, he was this prominent occultist. He was a theosophist. And he started this system of thought called the Anthroposophical Society. Anthroposophical Society. And the goal of this group was the mass indoctrination of the occult method. Now, of course, he followed Blavatsky's teachings, which got him in league with Lucifer, because they thought Lucifer was like the man who bestowed the wisdom upon man, and that wisdom could allow man to become God and surpass the false god, the Gnostic false god that created this prison planet. See how that all connects very nicely. But apparently Steiner wrote about this entity named Ahriman that he compared to Christ and Lucifer, because again, they all buy into this perennialism of all these gods come from one source. So Ahriman is a manifestation of the same source that Jesus and Lucifer came from. Now, curiously enough, in my first Alien book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, User Illusion 1, now available on Amazon and Audible, self-narrated, I talked about Steiner and Vril and all this stuff. I'm going to read you one paragraph. It says, when Edward Bulwer Lytton published The Coming Race in 1871, it led to Helena Blavatsky and Rudolf Steiner believing in an actual energy force called Vril, which influenced Hitler to conduct rituals with a secret society to attempt manipulation of this occult energy. Some claim it was successful in the Die Glock experiment to create a bell-shaped UFO that would time travel and crash in 1965's Keksberg UFO incident. Now, curious enough, that is kind of the plot line of this story. The Hollow Earth expedition is about tapping into this hidden energy source. So the Elon Musk guy is kind of like Hitler in this story. Inspired by the occult ideas, and he wants to go down there and snag some of this Vril energy for himself. Now, Madison, you know, 11 from Stranger Things, she takes a van, and her and her friend, they head over to Bernie's place, and we hear that Apex Cybernetics is behind this psionic technology where the brains are connected. This is like Elon Musk's Neuralink, and we're going to go deeper into this later. And they want to find Bernie, the podcaster, and they go to a place, because Bernie's always talking about bleach, right? And they go to a store, and they're like, hey, is there a guy who comes in here and buys a lot of bleach? And I guess they found it in the first stab. And the guy who works there is like, yeah, there's this guy who's obsessed with it. Tells him where he lives. And they're wondering, why does he always talk about the bleach? Well, she's like, well, it's because it prevents against organic tracking technology. I don't know anything about that. And we also confirm Bernie is into the idea that fluoride was put into the tap water by the Nazis to mind control us. So the point being, Madison and her friend are going to link up with Bernie, the conspiracy podcast guy. And honestly, I'm surprised they floated this many conspiracies into one film. That's a lot. Now, Dr. Lind, they're still on the boat. And he's like, look, why don't we use Gia to control Kong and have great success in the mission to find this power source in the Hollow Earth? But then Godzilla wakes up, or shows up, sorry. He shows up, and he fights Kong for 5 hours. Meanwhile, back on the mainland, Bernie, the conspiracy guy, and Madison, and her friend, they all go to check out the Pensacola Apex's wrecked out building with the intention of seeing what's on sub-level 33.
Will you believe me, right? Because I know that there was something.
I get a migraine from that torch sometimes. Sub level. How deep does this thing go, Bernie?
Help. Goes to help.
Sub level 33.
Manhunt shuttle departure to Roswell, New Mexico in 0.900 hours. Whoa.
What is all this?
It's breakaway civilization. I mean, come on, this is page one of the Apex Plan God Handbook, huh? I mean, the Illuminati running shadow economies ought to fund a hidden colony for the elite in case any of these governments and mega corporations accidentally hit the doomsday button. It makes sense if you think.
Now, isn't that curious? He said. He thinks it goes, the sub-level 33 goes to hell. Then they get on an elevator, and Madison is like, anyone know where this goes? Well, we already know. He just said it. It goes to hell. And this is curious because it shows up in Prince's song, Let's Go Crazy. He talks about the elevator bring us down, talking about the devil. And then Prince would later, of course, die in the elevator, or in front of it, I should say. Then, they get off the elevator, and you heard the Apex facility talking about how, you know, there's one in Roswell, New Mexico, implying there's an alien connection here. And Bernie talking about this Apex breakaway civilization, the Illuminati shadow economy. Oh, no. Well, 33, of course, is important in terms of the Illuminati symbolism as the highest degree of Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. It's the entrance to the secret inner elite once you make it up to that high, to the elective levels. But the breakaway civilizations is a curious idea, because I do believe that's happening. It's the idea that these shadowy groups, they're recruiting members to carry on the human population. And the conspiracy theory is that this is secretly the elites. And some of these breakaway civilizations are set up to carry on life underground or on the moon or on Mars. And these things exist, right? At least the ones underground do. And they've been talking about how we're supposed to go back to the moon. We're going to set up a permanent base on the moon. And we all know we never really went there, so it'll be the first time man actually gets to the moon. But this is all part of the secret space program, developing secret weapons, researching UFO materials. And we can go to like the creation of the Space Force, right? And if you recall back in like 2002, a hacker named Gary McKinnon was arrested. And he hacked NASA and the U.S. military computer systems because he was looking for cover-ups. The cover-ups on like free energy, which is what is in the Hollow Earth, the Vril. And he said in the documents he found an anti-gravity propulsion device. He found portal jumping technology. He found an Excel spreadsheet titled Non-Terrestrial Officers, talking about ship transfers and whatnot. There's an interview on Wired with him. And this is what he said. He said, I knew that governments suppressed anti-gravity, UFO-related technologies, free energy, or what they call zero-point energy. This should not be kept hidden from the public when pensioners can't pay their fuel bills. Wired says, did you find anything in your search for evidence of UFOs? McKinnon says, certainly did. There's the Disclosure Project. This is a book with 400 testimonials from everyone, from air traffic controllers to those responsible for launching nuclear missiles. Very credible witnesses. They talk about reverse engineered technology taken from captured or destroyed alien craft. Wired says, like the Roswell incident of 1947? And he says, I assume that was the first and assume there have been others. These relied upon people have given solid evidence. They ask, what sort of evidence? He says, a NASA photographic expert said that there was a Building 8 at Johnson Space Center where they regularly airbrushed out of images of UFOs from the high-resolution satellite imaging. I logged onto NASA and was able to access this department. They had huge high-resolution images stored in their picture files. They had filtered and unfiltered, or processed and unprocessed files. And then later he reveals that was when they caught him. That's when they shut it down. He never got a copy of this. So very curious, right? Do we believe him? He seemed very honest in the interview, though. So anyhow, back to the story. Madison and the conspiracy crew here, they get on a little rocket ship of sorts, and it sort of launches from the facility, and now all of a sudden, boom, they're at Apex in Hong Kong. And this is the portal jumping technology that McKinnon asserts that we've got. Is this film a part of revelation of the method? Are they showing us in a fictional manner stuff that really exists? Meanwhile, the Hollow Earth crew, they get to Antarctica, they go to the entrance, but they can't get Kong to listen to G's commands. He eventually figures it out. They start maneuvering it around, all kinds of monster fight scenes, you know the drill, this is not my cup of tea. The special effects are pretty wild, looks pretty clear, but you know, our minds always know the difference. It knows when there's CGI. As great as it can look, the human mind can't be beat. Now, the conspiracy crew, they're in Hong Kong at the Apex facility, and they get down into what Bernie refers to as a sacrifice pit. And it turns out what they're doing is they're testing this Neuralink technology, sort of, where they're mentally controlling this massive robo-Godzilla, which they, you know, call Mecha-Godzilla. And the camera zooms in on the all-seeing eye again. Then, back to Hollow Earth crew. They find the power source. And Kong, he goes to this rock doorway and sees this red bloody handprint, which made me laugh because it reminded me of all the Q fanaticism on the red palm that you see with like Justin Bieber and Ellen DeGeneres, which is very odd. I give them that. It is very odd. I don't know what it means. They think it has something to do with the Frazzle Drip video. They think there's like this satanic ritualistic element where they cut off people's faces like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and wear it to pull the energy from, I guess. I don't know the details of it. It's all very speculative. But he puts his hand on it. It opens up and it goes into this sacred inner temple to the source of the light. And he walks down the stairs into kind of like this cave, and he's going downstairs below ground. This is very occult initiation. Kong is being initiated into the occult here. Because that's what they do. They go underground, go inside of a cave. These are all very common tropes. He gets in there, he finds his axe, and we find out this is his home. Yes, the evolution from the power source theory was correct. Meanwhile, back at Apex in Hong Kong, which is a giant pyramid building, by the way. You hear Bernie. I'll play a clip. He talks about how lizard people build all their facilities in the same way, which, you know, if you put the pieces together, it's that pyramid building.
Guys, listen.
But I only go to high school.
It's a living supercomputer.
Shh.
It had three heads. Its necks were so long they communicated telepathically. And there's one here, another one inside of that thing. And it could be a psionic interface. Oh, wait, God. Careful.
It's a pilot?
Yeah, he's in a trance. It's a psionic uplink. It follows his will. Oh, Apex, what if you die?
So in it, they find this living supercomputer with a three-headed monster that can communicate telepathically. This is the Neuralink. They call it the psionic tech in the movie. And we hear talk about how this monster was being mentally controlled by a pilot when it is, quote, doing his will. Now, doing his will, of course, is thelemic magic. It's mental emanations to control the nature of reality. So this psionic Neuralink thing apparently is what's doing it. Now, let's look at what they're talking about here. There's this three-headed monster, Ghidorah. And I find that curious. The three heads, like the triple goddess, right? That's how the pagans demonstrate the triple goddess stuff. And Lady Gaga was emulated like this once, because supposedly she's a witch, right? That's the term they use for witches, is lady or lord. But anyway, these three heads of this monster could communicate with the other two heads telepathically. And they took one of its skulls, Apex did, and wired it up to a helmet so a pilot could mentally control Mechagodzilla. And this is exactly the brain-computer interface thing that the elites want so bad. Neuralink is Elon Musk's brain implant chip that's creating the brain-machine interface that he's making. And the idea is that they put this out as like, well, this will treat brain diseases and all kinds of stuff, which sounds great, which is great. I like that. Go for it, dude. But the long term is the concern. And he says it. He says it's about improving and evolving the human being. This is transhumanism. Even on Wikipedia, I'll read you directly from the Wikipedia. It says, Elon Musk explained that the long-term goal is to achieve symbiosis with artificial intelligence, which he perceives as an existential threat to humanity if it goes unchecked. Well, what do you know? Why are you going to do it then, buddy? Because these nerds are going to kill us. That's what they're here to do. And they're going to do it very good. Very well. Do it very good. Now, if you listen to Higher Side Chats, they had a guest, Nick Hinton, on, who I swear sounds like my doppelganger. I started following him on Twitter just a few weeks ago because he had some interesting tweets that I had caught wind of because someone else liked them. I guess he's been around about the same time, too. He started his Twitter in 2011 as well. I got to read his books because on the show, I'm like, dude, this guy's like researching the same stuff I'm researching. So it was one of the most interesting episodes. If you listen to Higher Side, you got to catch that one. But he was talking about a lot of these same subjects, including the idea that there's some background info. If you listen to my interview with Dr. Diana Pasalka from the summer of 2020, we talked about her book, American Cosmic, which is all about this UFO technology and the Invisible College and the secret group of folks who are researching it. And there's an anonymous guy named Tyler. Well, Nick hints that Tyler might be an extended intelligence, which is kind of like artificial intelligence. It's an entity that we're in contact with that guides humanity. This is just like Blavatsky and Steiner's fantasies of these ascended masters, these enlightened entities, just like in the 2001 Space Odyssey sequence of the Star Child and the subsequent novels, the path to digital consciousness. So apparently Elon Musk wants us to wire right into these entities and arguably become them. It's transhumanism. I talked about this in my first book back in 2012. So Elon Musk, you know, he wants to plug us into the AI that he admits is going to destroy us. So when I say these nerds are going to kill us, I mean they're really going to kill us. One of the ideas is that AI, and on that show with Nick Hinton on THC, AI can alter space-time dimensions and rewrite history, which ties into a show I did with SMQ called We Died in 2012 on Mandela Effect. Did that many years ago, which actually comes, they mentioned SMQ in that Higher Side Chats episode. Anyhow, back to the story. Kong, he's in this inner chamber home. He uses axe to draw radiation from the core. And Maya, the daughter of the Elon Musk character, she snags a sample, which her whole purpose the whole time, she don't care about Kong or Godzilla. She needs the technology to get back to her father, who wants to use it to, you know, gain power and wealth. So Team Hollow Earth, they get out. Kong and Godzilla, they're now in Hong Kong fighting. There's like, at this point, there's like 30 minutes left of the movie. I'm mentally checked out because the fighting scenes are so long. I'm looking through Twitter and TMZ, and it hits me that this is just another superhero movie. Not my thing. Sort of a family-friendly, you know, popcorn-shoveling vibe, which is fine. I like that. Like, I'm not opposed to those movies. It's just, they don't inspire me, okay? And I'm not looking down on people that like them. I'm not saying, like, oh, you're stupid. Like, you just got to check out sometimes. I'm just saying, like, it ain't my cup of tea. It's hard for me to keep engaged in films like this, and that's why I wish this one would have been 90 minutes, quite frankly. basically, I'm so much more intelligent than you. No, I'm just kidding. And these action movies are so beneath me. That's the real message I want to get across. Jokes. I'm just joking. I'm actually watching the Avengers movies right now. Trying to like, and that's an interesting storyline with Thanos wanting to bring balance. He's basically the elites. He's basically the nerds. He's like, look, I got to kill half these people. He wants to do the Great Reset. I got to kill half these people so the remaining half can have all the resources they need. He's basically the Great Reset, which I did like six episodes on back in like, what, November, December 2020? Okay, back to the movie. Team Conspiracy. They're at the Apex thing, and they take him to the CEO, and we find out that Madison's mom used to work for him, and she thinks he's a dick, and he provoked Godzilla this whole time, and he says there can only be one Alpha, implying that's him. Again, nerds are going to kill us. And he's implying that this Mecha Godzilla, which is an extension of him, is the real Alpha. Because technology is the god. Unfortunately, you know what happens. Mecha Godzilla goes off the ranch because the technology failed like a Bluetooth connection. Kills the Elon Musk guy. Gets into Hong Kong. Starts fighting Godzilla. Gets some more all-seeing eyes. Conspiracy crew, they're trying to hack into Mecha Godzilla now. Kong, he's being a real Sally. He's laying down on the job. He gets this pep talk from Gia. And he goes to fight Mecha Godzilla. So now him and regular Godzilla are buddies. They tag team. They take Mecha down. Kong rips the head off, drinks the blood. He exhausted, lays down, fight's over, movie's over. That's it. I think he might have died. I lost interest. Don't care. So in conclusion, here's where we've got a little bit more lecture for you. In conclusion, we need to talk about several aspects, several elements here. The first, this is the big chunk of why I wanted to give you this analysis. That telepathic AI Neuralink, this is the end game. This is the end game that fits into the occult religion. And again, I'm not tying a judgment to it. I don't know the right answer. I don't know what the real truth is out there with a capital T. I just know what I'm reading here. And the occultists, they have this thing of like Neoplatonism tying into Gnosticism and perennialism. And they think we're in this prison planet, this simulation. They think we can literally hack our way out of it. And one way they want to do it is through nanoparticles, nanodust. And they want to put the nanoparticles, little miniature robots, basically, into your brain. And it will allow the brain to interface with the internet. This is something Ray Kurzweil has been talking about in all of his books. These neural nanobots that will connect the brain into what they call the synthetic neocortex. This is your internet. So now your thoughts would literally connect us. We're all magicians now. We could download, upload information wirelessly just through thought. Thought emanations, which is the Kabbalistic God. The thought emanations came from God and created reality. Now you are God. And this will ultimately give way to this global super brain. Everyone's connected. And connected with the AI, the Ascended Masters. And you got to dig into the formation of the internet to know why this happened. Jacques Vallée wrote a book in 2003 called The Heart of the Internet. And he talked about how Stanford's AI lab was preparing the masses for a new world. They saw the AI and the ARPANET as the great equalizer that would allow information, which is power, to get to everyone, not just the elites. And that's why the elites are trying like hell to rein this in. It's a threat to their power and wealth. From the book, I'll read right from the book. In the 1970s, McLuhan announced that cosmic humanism, or something close to it, would spring from the universal appeal to electronic media. We're all connected, see? And the book goes on to talk about how the internet was a universal information medium, a common pool of knowledge for anyone, anywhere, and how it takes out the gatekeepers, the studio managers at the TV, the radio. And they even knew back then, they predicted that the power structures would try to retain their power through censorship. And the internet was a social revolution that would allow assembly and distribution of occult ways of thinking. And in the book it says, in other words, it should be possible to build electronic communities of experts, invisible colleges of kindred spirits. There's that loaded language, invisible college. And they even talk about how the first idea of instant exchange of information goes back to the New Age mystics of the 70s, and how hallucinogens like LSD connected us to this consciousness. And this was explored through workshops like at Esalen using these New Age consciousness ideas. It goes on and on and on. And Vallée, in the book, he talks about how back in the 60s and 70s, they were concerned when ARPA, the ARPANET, right? The military establishment, which is connected to the RAND Corporation, the ARPA became a sponsor, arguing that they were going to use this as a weapon, a way to gain intelligence against adversaries. Right? They gain intelligence, which eventually would become us with the Patriot Act. So now it's a control system. But underneath it wasn't supposed to be. It had an occult agenda. Power to the people. Which is curious because of Vallée's connection with the UFO disclosure stuff and all that. But Vallée talks about how the rise of the internet could lead to transcendence of the human soul, connecting all of us as a global species. Which ironically, there was that Johnny Depp film, Transcendence, amongst other films, warning us, scaring us about the internet and the AI, Lawnmower Man, and the global peace that that could provide of all of us being connected could be threatening a lot of people's money, messing with the bag, jobs, the ways of living. He quotes Russell Targ, calling the internet the first manifestation of planetary consciousness. So that's all connected into this movie, right? I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's Hollow Earth, there's suppressed free energy sources, there's breakaway civilizations. Oh my God, these nerds are gonna kill us. And whoever wrote this film was definitely looking into all this stuff. And the head writer, Terry Rossio, who did Shrek and Pirates of the Caribbean, apparently on Wikipedia, he's an anti-vaxxer, so I would argue this is the guy who was researching this stuff. So there you go, that's Godzilla vs. Kong. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want more, look, here's a way you can get 4 books for $5. Go to my website, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, and you sign up for the free email newsletter, and you're on your way. 4 books, $5. Link in the show notes, as always. Till next time, my friends. Stay woke.